You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
Yes TV channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock. Dumelang, welcome to you, the Clement Magnatella Show on this 10th day of April. Thank you for being with us here on 702. I hope you're well this morning. We start with the 702 open line on 011-883-0702. You can send us your WhatsApp voice notes on 072-702-1702. In a moment, we'll be discussing the Electoral Court's order clearing the way for former President Jacob Zuma to be deployed to Parliament by the MK Party. Will he go? Will he go and be a mere backbencher in the National Assembly? I don't see it. Can he go as a volunteer? What would be the hurdles for that? If Parliament, for instance, would have to vote on that. But also, why do you think Jacob Zuma is doing what he is doing? Joining the MK, decampaigning the ANC, being on top of their list to Parliament. Is he that angry with the ANC? Was he trying to mess up Cyril Ramaphosa, the president? What do you think is motivating Jacob Zuma? I saw a recent video of him dancing just a day or two ago. He is happy to see what is unfolding and how the ANC or President Cyril Ramaphosa is taking it. What do you think is motivating him? I would like your thoughts. Give us a call right now or send us a WhatsApp voice note and I'll tell you what I think. Also, how are you feeling about the zig? If you're in Zimbabwe, or you're a Zimbabwean, or you're a South African doing business in Zimbabwe, the country has a new gold-backed currency, the zig. This replaces the Zim dollar, which has been losing its value almost every day. I don't see it taking off, this new currency. Apparently, people were left stranded in Harare because even public transport operators refused to accept the currency. And I remember when I spent some time in Zim, when I was there for the elections for about a month or so, we used the US dollar. That currency, the US dollar, was in so much demand in Zimbabwe because that's what retailers mostly were accepting. That's what most people are using. And I wonder if that will change now that there's a new currency. What are your thoughts? Between 10 and 11 o'clock, we're going to be in conversation with the head of the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, Dikeledi Ntlaseng. Police are not always acting according to the law that they're meant to enforce. That's the reality. So you need a watchdog, hence IPID. But has this body been able to play an effective oversight role over the police, or have they failed in holding their own accountable? Their mandate is very clear. They've got to conduct independent, impartial, and quality investigations of identified criminal offences allegedly committed by members of the SAPS and Metro Police, and to make appropriate recommendations in line with the IPID Act. But do they even have the capacity to do that? Because IPID is under-resourced and incapable of managing the caseloads of alleged police criminality it registers every year. And yes, their investigations must be independent and unbiased. But how, when the police minister can still be involved in the appointment of the IPID head? We'll chat to the IPID as well about the killings of suspects recently by police. They've indicated that the killing of suspected criminals is on the increase. This, of course, comes after 14 people believed to be suspected criminals were recently shot dead by police in two separate incidents in Mpumalanga and in KwaZulu-Natal last week. So, is the system for holding police officers accountable strong as it should? That's really the question I'm asking between 10 and 11 o'clock. And what needs to be done to enhance that system of accountability? And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to do our listener's choice feature. Today, I want us to look at how spousal maintenance works in South Africa. That's a topic that was suggested by one of our listeners for listener's choice. So spousal maintenance is a concept that aims to provide financial support to a disadvantaged spouse after divorce, right? The purpose of this kind of maintenance is to reduce the burden and change in lifestyle that may arise from the end of a marriage, because sometimes divorce is accompanied by financial uncertainties. That's the reality for some people. So the standard of living during the marriage is a big factor. So the court has to take that into account. The lifestyle that you enjoyed with your spouse during the marriage, the aim is to ensure that the disadvantaged spouse can maintain a comparable standard of living post-divorce. And no, not every spouse is automatically granted maintenance after divorce. There are things that the court will have to consider. That's evaluated on a case-by-case basis. So whatever question you have about spousal maintenance, maybe you are receiving that now. Maybe you are paying spousal maintenance. I want you to share your experiences with us at 11 o'clock. At 11:30, we're going to do the sharing space. We'll hear from a listener who wants your help. A friend owes this person money. This person is like, I want to go to the claims court. I want to try tell the employer that this person owes me money because they haven't returned it. But I'm scared that I'm going to lose the friendship. What a conundrum. We'll hear about it on our sharing space at 11:30. That's the show coming up over the next 3 hours.
702.
Let's walk the talk.
Very good morning, Clement. Clement, look. The ANC has backed Zuma from the start of his case. But the only problem started when Ramaphosa started talking about the 10 wasted years. That's where Zuma really got fed up with Ramaphosa and seeing that Ramaphosa is singling him out as the one who messed up. Of which I still not agree. The entire ANC was part of what we have seen during the Zuma tenure, where they've supported him, they've given him support, and even though they saw that what he was doing wasn't right, but they kept on supporting him. Ramaphosa made a mistake when he wanted to get support from sympathy from South African citizens to say that it was 10 wasted years, of which it was during Zuma's tenure. That's what angered Zuma. Zuma wanted to revenge what Ramaphosa did, Musharrabai.
Hey, and he hates. Oh, hate is a strong word. He doesn't like Cyril Ramaphosa, hey? Do you remember that letter that Jacob Zuma wrote to ANC members accusing Cyril Ramaphosa of selling out the ANC? This was 2 years, huh? 2.5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. Oh my goodness, that letter, I had never seen anything like that, that a former president writes about someone who's just taken over from them. And it was obviously meant to influence the outcome. I think at the time of, there must have been a conference of the ANC that was coming up, if I'm not mistaken. But there was a very strongly worded letter that Jacob Zuma wrote to ANC members, warning them of the Cyril Ramaphosa presidency. So is that what's motivating him? I mean, before Nasrec a year ago, was it a year ago? No, 2 years ago. Remember in 2022? When we were at Nasrec, he tried to go to court for private prosecution so that Cyril Ramaphosa will somehow be disqualified. Because remember, the minute Cyril is formally charged, then that's the parasite resolution comes in. He's tried all the tricks in the book. But no, hasn't worked. And maybe that is why now he's gone with this option. What are your thoughts on what the electoral court has ordered? We don't know the reasons yet why the court has ruled in this way, dismissing and setting aside the decision by the IEC to disqualify the former president as the MK candidate for parliament. But it's very important to stress, we don't have the full judgment yet. So we don't know how the judges came to their conclusion. Were they convinced by the issue of bias against one of the commissioners at the IEC? Were they convinced by Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution and whether or not the IEC has the authority to implement it? Or were they convinced by the argument that because Jacob Zuma was given remission, that sentence was remitted, then it cancelled that sentence, reduced it from 12 or 15 months into to 3 months. So we'll find out when. I cannot wait to read that judgment, because I think it's going to set such an important precedent for our electoral system and what the IEC can or cannot do when it sifts through candidates who are going to be headed for parliament, depending on how the parties perform after elections. But yeah, let me know what your thoughts are on 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
Morning, Clement. Zugi is in Hyde Park here. Look, Jacob Zuma is being driven by hate and by huge tribalism. Very dangerous tribalism. That's what is driving him. I mean, he's 82 or 81 somewhere there, but he's busy doing what he's doing. It's tribalism and hate. And knowing how greedy he is, he'll never take up that seat as a backbencher in parliament. He'll never give up the presidential pegs. He's just messing up with Cyril Ramaphosa. That's it. He's too greedy. He'll never give up on those pegs. I'm so busy here. Thank you.
Good morning, Clement. Okay, you know, this is Thabang in Soweto. You know, for me, I just think Zuma is trying to change the system, wants to change the system, because he's always preached the system to be a fair, even though we don't see it that way. Some of us don't see that way. Even when he was a president, on his speeches, he'd say, "Bakhona basiphethe," meaning that "Bakhona basiphethe." Yes. So I wanna wonke amandla, but his wish is to change the system. You see, I don't know. Yeah.
Look, will he have to choose between his benefits and an MP salary? Yeah, because that's a question I've been asking myself. Yes, this court order clears the way for him to appear on the MK ballot and head to parliament should the party manage to get seats in the National Assembly. But given the momentum the MK party has so far, I think they will get a few seats in parliament. So this then becomes the return of Jacob Zuma to one of the arms of the state. The question is, will he actually go to parliament to be a backbencher? I personally don't see it. And maybe you see it differently. Let me know. Especially if he stands to lose his benefits as president. He's already financially constrained. A parliamentary salary is not going to sustain him. And yes, there are other options on the table. Some people are saying he could go as a volunteer, because apparently that's what Kgalema Motlanthe did when he returned to parliament as deputy president. He chose to keep his benefits as president from when he was president. But I spoke to someone in parliament this morning who says that's not necessarily possible to just say you're going to be a volunteer. At some point, you have to choose, because you're attached to the position you choose. And the people I spoke to in parliament were disagreeing on whether even Baleka Mbete forfeited the benefits of deputy president and kept the ones for speaker. They're saying, some people say yes, in terms of security, because there was an assessment made, she kept that kind of security that comes with the deputy presidency, having held that position. But ultimately, the salary that she was getting was that of a speaker. But other people say no, she managed to negotiate to keep the benefits, because that's actually what's contained even in legislation. If anybody's listening to us who understands these processes much better, please, can you give us a call? How impactful would you think he would be in parliament? He's an old man. Do you think he's going to sit there? He's going to fall asleep like Abu Gwedeman. Gwedeman Tashia falling asleep in parliament. Cyril Ramaphosa is falling asleep in parliament. But at least he's got so much to do. You know, he's traveling around, he's moving around. When you're a backbencher in parliament and you used to be the president, the head of state, that's a completely different thing, my friends. I don't think he wants to be a backbencher. Forget the benefits. Let's say he even keeps those benefits of president. Yes, it's going to upset the ANC seeing him there in parliament, but is that what you think he will sacrifice for this new party, to be an ordinary member of parliament? Or maybe he'll consider it to see if he can make an attempt at president, at the presidency, because we headed to elections and anything is possible. Alliances may be formed, may be explored. I mean, what happens if the ANC falls below 50% and they need about, let's say, 9% or 4%, and the MK says, oh, we can give you that on condition that Jacob Zuma becomes president, or on condition that Jacob Zuma becomes deputy president? And can he even become president again? Because the constitution says you can't serve more than 2 terms. But Jacob Zuma says, I didn't serve my 2 full terms. And given how the electoral court ordered the IEC in this recent case, when most people were convinced that the IEC was on the right side of the law, anything is possible. Advocate Dalimpofu could go to court and argue for Jacob Zuma and say, well, this person resigned before he finished his term. Full terms. The wording of the constitution in terms of full terms, that's 5 years. But he didn't serve 10 years. He still has a couple of months to go. That's a possibility. But I also spoke to a constitutional expert this morning who says that the wording of the constitution suggests that a term is a full 5 years and ends when you vacate office. So therefore, Zuma has served the 2 terms. He cannot become a president, but maybe he can be a deputy president or a cabinet minister because he has vacated office. But anything is possible, my friend. This order by the electoral court yesterday shows us that the law, the constitution, can be interpreted so differently. And the way we may understand it to mean may be different to how the judges or the justices interpret it. So be open-minded about what's possible. Not everything is black and white. After the break, straight to your calls on 011-883-0702.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
27 after 9 o'clock. Teenage, you're calling from Cosmos City. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Tara.
Fine. You know what, Clement? As much as we can differ with Zuma's tactics and stuff, but it only exposes that the constitution was rushed, was written by naive people who thought everybody is innocent. Any person that will lead the country will be found with no problems and stuff.
Yeah.
Now it shows that our constitution is very, very wrong. For example, the white paper that was drafted by the Home Affairs, I think the constitution must go through that route again so that these loopholes can be fixed as much as possible until we meet another candidate who's coming with this technicality. Thank you.
I always say, teenage, the Constitution is not self-executing. And even the drafters of the Constitution never, ever claim that the Constitution is a perfect document. What the drafters of the Constitution did was, these are the ideals. This is what we want to live by. But we're going to have the executive, the politicians, people whose responsibility is to implement the Constitution. Which is why you also have different arms of the state. You've got the judiciary, whose responsibility is to also look at the law and the constitution. So I'm very wary of always trying to go after the drafters of the constitution because they were naive. I mean, the country evolves, the world evolves as people will evolve, and the constitution will do that. But it's not going to do that on its own. It's going to do that because of the politicians who are in charge. So maybe blame the ANC for having not fixed the defects in the constitution and what doesn't work for the majority of people, but not the document itself.
But then why they call themselves champions of the constitution then?
Who?
In the writers of the constitution. They call themselves champions.
But they are champions.
So can't champions be criticized?
They can. I can, but what I'm saying, the point I'm trying to make is they've never claimed that that document is going to be perfect for the next 100 years. That's what they knew at the time.
I'm not saying they're claiming. I'm just saying they were naive.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with you. In some instances, I mean, they thought that all the presidents we're going to have are never going to be, are going to be perfect, you know, which is why certain things happen now and, you know, government has to go back and think, how do we change it? But I think we need to point fingers at the African National Congress because they have the majority. They are in charge. They can go to parliament. They can change Section 25 of the constitution. Have they been able to do that? Is the question. Teenage. Yeah. Thank you for a call in Cosmos City. Toto in Morningside. Hi.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Tara.
Yeah, brother, I don't think Ubaba Jacob Zuma is very much interested in being an MP more than just troubling the waters for the ANC.
Yeah,
I will tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare, I may not know in figures how much he gets in terms of the perks as the ex-president, but just think about it this way. No matter what the number of wives he has, each and every wife is a former first lady. So there's tax for that. Each and every kid he has, so there's benefits. So I think the state spends a lot for him as an ex-president.
Mm.
Then if you compare with how much he could earn if he would be the MP, it would be about 1.4 million per annum. I think that is too small compared to what he's getting as an ex-president.
Yeah.
Now, however, at the same time, he has a vendetta against the ANC. What he forgot was that how the former president, Thabo Mbeki, did not finish his term. He just went and just took a break. Then Jacob Zuma forgot that what goes around, it would come back around. And that was the beginning of the culture in the ANC. He didn't finish the term, but he doesn't take it like the other one did.
Mm.
At the same time, I am very happy that he starts this party that will vote on itself against the ANC.
Mm.
Because the 3 years is too much. Liberation movements must fall.
All right. Toto says hashtag liberation movements must fall. Imagine if the ANC, just before Parliament's term ends for this administration, the ANC goes and changes legislation to somehow affect the benefits that former presidents receive. Hmm? I mean, the nice thing about our country is that we live in a constitutional democracy, so you can go to court to challenge any legislation. But imagine if they tried to do that because they wanted to punish him. Because if they don't do that now, they've lost it completely. Who says they're going to have a 2/3 majority in parliament, or they're going to have a majority of seats in parliament in the next administration, even if they do return as a government? I wonder.
You're with Clement Manyatela.
702. Let's walk the talk.
All right, it's 24 minutes before 10 o'clock. I got a message from someone on the WhatsApp line, Peter, who says, Clement, why are we talking about Zuma going back to parliament? According to the Zuma Foundation and his advocates, he's terminally ill. Remember that time? Oh my God. I saw pictures of him dancing. He was getting down. I was like, yes, God is amazing, guys. God is a God of miracles. If you never believed in healing, if you never believed in miracles, this is a testimony. A living testimony, I tell you. Mama Kanya, you're calling from Pretoria. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Clement.
Good morning.
I just want to say, Mr. Zuma is not going back to be a bank bencher. He's fighting to be on the list, because then after the election, he shall have merged with Ace Magashule's party. And if Duduzane's party was still alive, he would take that one as well. Let's take it out for now. But then also ATM, and merge those together.
Mm.
If they don't make said a 2/3 majority, he's then going to negotiate with the EFF, and he will say to Juju, look, let me be the president just for 1 year, because I feel I was robbed to complete my term. And for that 1 year that is given, he's going to amend the constitution. He's gunning for that. Then after the year, then he stepped down for whatever reason that he'll give that time, and then Juju takes over. He's not going back there just to be a backbencher. Let's forget about that. Let's just forget about even comparing salaries. He won't go there. He wants to be a president and to prove a point and to deal with someone.
Mm. That's well, my take. And the question also is going to be, can he even become president given the constitutional limitations? As I said, constitution speaks about 2 terms. When I look at the wording of the constitution, a term is 5 years. Zuma served 4 years in a couple of months or so. No? He probably still had a year or a couple of months to serve. So Advocate Dalimpofu may get in there and say, well, the constitution says a full term is 5 years. This man didn't serve a full term in his second term. Therefore, let him go back. As Zuma said, I still have unfinished business. Let him go back and finish his business. You never know. But that's the beauty about this constitutional democracy and about our law, right? We learn. It can be interpreted differently. The justices may say, you are right. The same way that they were convinced by some arguments by Advocate Dalimpofu on this issue of disqualifying the former president from standing. There's someone who sent me a tweet who says, Clement, Zuma is not going to go to parliament. I have a sneaky suspicion that he might, this is Tula, I have a sneaky suspicion that he might go for the KZN premiership. Once again, the ANC will be caught napping. His popularity in KZN is too much to ignore for his ego. Parliament is a talking point distraction. Another one says, Clement, this is Sam, says, Clement, I'm personally thrilled that Zuma will be going to the polls as a candidate. We need this pride before a fall. The euphoria of elections will fade and MK will realize that there's little that holds it together besides diverging interests. The implosion will then begin. Hey, the implosion has probably begun, my friend, because I saw a statement that was doing some rounds this morning of the MK Secretary General sending a letter to, who's that young chap? Bonginkosi Kanyile. And that letter said, Bonginkosi, you are now removed from the position of National Coordinator for the Umkhonto weSizwe Youth League. So your role going forward will be that of a normal member of the MK Youth League. You will be notified of your redeployment in due course. And I know that the spokesperson for the MK actually was on Bongani Bima's show, I think last week on a Wednesday, and he spoke about how they disassociated themselves and distanced themselves from the comments that Bonginkosi has been making in inciting violence and. So maybe that implosion has begun, and I'm not wishing that there's an implosion for the MK party. In fact, I love it when we've got South Africans who have options. I love it when South Africans have a lot of options to choose from and let the best men win. And if the NK party comes in and it disappoints you, take them out. If the ANC has disappointed you, take them out. If the DA disappoints you, take them out. That's the beauty about our electoral system, about this constitutional democracy. You know, I think one thing the ANC, and I wonder if you see the irony in all of this, the ANC literally has heart palpitations about the MK party. So their mission is destroy them. I mean, they try to go to court to try and get the party not to, you know, to challenge the registration of the MK party. They lost it. But what did they do? They actually brought the MK party into a public narrative. Like, you and I are talking about the MK party now. Why? Because the court has made an order that the IEC should not have disqualified the president. And the possibility is that the court may have been convinced by the argument that the remission that was granted to the former president, Jacob Zuma, actually reduced that sentence to 3 months from about 15 months or so. Who gave Jacob Zuma remission? President Cyril Ramaphosa. So I don't know if you're getting the irony of all of this, in that the president of the ANC, which is the party which wanted the MK to be deregistered, gave Jacob Zuma remission, which has now cleared the way for him to go back to parliament and possibly attempt being president again. Or just go to parliament to irritate and infuriate the ANC. I think the ANC has been a gift that keeps on giving for the MK party. And I wonder if they realize that.
Good morning, Clement. I don't see Zuma going to the parliament as just an ordinary member and risking to lose the presidential benefits like salary and all what he's getting at the moment. That is not going to happen. I foresee him just actually, this is just actually, I can say, a mind game to confuse or distract the ANC of what is his next move. This is completely, he will never, never, ever do that, such a move, because he knows he'll risk to lose quite a lot than the ANC has to lose. Thanks, this is Happy from Griswold.
Good morning, Clement, and 702 listeners. The way I see things regarding former President Jacob Zuma, I don't think that he will go back to the parliament himself. I suspect that he will send one of his children. I think Dudu Zile, the way she's coming close to his father now, I think so. I think Dudu Zile, it will be in the parliament replacing his father. Thank you so much, Clement Mabunda from Malbatin. Thank you.
Hi, Clement. Good morning. Good morning to the team there. You know, I think what motivates Zuma, it is the fact that ANC or Cyril Ramaphosa refused to deal with his cases at the courts, that are at the courts presently. So he feels that he's betrayed by these folks. I think that's what motivates him. Thanks, William Pretoria.
You know, I cannot, one of the things, and thanks for your WhatsApp voice note and for saying what you think motivates the former president. I'm really looking forward to reading this judgment by the Electoral Court, because I think it's significant in that it will set a precedent for our electoral system on what's allowed and what's not allowed, and what the IEC can and cannot do when these lists are submitted. Because the crux of the case by Jacob Zuma's legal team was Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution. They said it doesn't apply to him. What does that Section 47 say? It bars individuals sentenced to prison for longer than 12 months without the option of a fine from becoming MPs. And Zuma didn't have an option of a fine. Because remember, Justice Kambembe said, this person has disrespected the court. In fact, he must just go straight to jail. But that Section 47 has been interpreted differently by Zuma's lawyers and the IEC. Zuma's lawyers say the remission that the president granted Jacob Zuma cancelled that sentence. So they forgave it because it wasn't a pardon. So because of that remission, the sentence was reduced from 15 to 3 months. They also argued the IEC doesn't even have a right to implement Section 47 of the Constitution and decide who can or can be an MP. That is the responsibility of Parliament. But the IEC was arguing that the effect of the remission of sentence does not change the fact that the court imposed a sentence of 15 months. So the decision by the president, forget about it. The fact that he granted him remission shouldn't even matter. That's what the executive has done. But what was the ruling in the beginning? So they're saying even though he served 3 months because of remission, his sentence was still beyond the minimum of 12 months. So I cannot wait to hear how the court interprets Section 47(1)(e) of the Constitution and whether it believes the IEC overreached here and made a decision that should have been made by Parliament, or who can or can be an MP. It's going to be a fascinating judgment, I tell you.
And now,
it's back to Clement Maniatella.
This is 702.
And it's back to your WhatsApp and calls. It's 11 minutes before 10.
Hi, Clement. Pat here. MK with EFF in KwaZulu-Natal. I think these guys, they have actually made an agreement, I suspect, that they're going to work against DA Alliance to topple them in KwaZulu-Natal, and going to the parliament. It's going to be very, very interesting, guys. I bet you. You're going to see MK and EFF, yeah, making people to wake up there. Believe you me. Thank you.
Morning, Clement. You know, in Zulu they say, Uyabalaya. Uyabalaya, the ANC. They protected him, protected him, protected him, and then when it was not fashionable to do so, they threw him under the bus, acting as if, yeah, they're on a renewal course and all of that and all of that. Threw him under the bus, threw him in jail, and then started with doing the favors again, protecting him, getting him out of jail on parole. They sent him back, they put him on remission. He was just watching them, waiting to betray them, essentially. So it's very good. It will teach the ANC that you stick to your guns, you stick to the law. Anybody who is within wrongdoing must face the law. Now look, the same things they did to protect him have protected him now and have made him eligible for president.
Good morning, Clement. I understand very well that it is Jacob Zuma's democratic rights to go to court, to campaign for MK and to go back to parliament, but in the process he is losing his reputation and credibility. Peter Maila Machaba from Letswana.
Do you think he cares about that? Do you think he cares about his credibility? I mean, he was friends with the Guptas and he defended them up until the end. Is that something that suggests to you someone cares about their credibility? He's joined a party that believes that young people must not decide on their own what they want to study. He says, we're going to send you to the army, all of you, after matric, and we're going to choose for you what to study. If you fall pregnant as a girl, we're going to send you to Robben Island. Have you heard what he said about the LGBTQI+? So no, I'm not convinced that he cares about his credibility. And I've said this before about ANC comrades. What I've realized, having covered the ANC for quite a bit, is they like it when they are involved in controversy, because then they can claim to be martyrs, like they can claim to be victims. Like the more of a victim you are in the ANC, it's almost like the more attractive you are as a leader. So when there's charges up against you, when you are being investigated against by law enforcement agencies, when you've done some unethical things, it's almost like that is what makes you attractive. I think. Tuso in Joburg, what are your thoughts? Hi.
Good morning, Clement. Welcome back.
Thank you, brother.
Clement, just a quick one. I was talking to the lady behind the scene here. I was just reading, probably I'm saying this from an ignorant perspective. I think the electoral court played politics here. They made a ruling without giving reason. What if the IEC wants to appeal the court based on the reasoning behind the ruling, number one? Number two, my simplest take is the apex court found Zuma criminal. And there's no way the lower court can see or interpret this differently. Maybe I'm ignorant on this one. I need to be schooled. But all in all, I see there's a lot of politicking. Even the utterances of the female judge during the hearing, she said something which was kind of preempting the ruling, or she said Zuma must get a chance, something like that. But anyhow, moving away from that, I think the electoral court played politics. Okay. There's more to this. Wait and see.
Let me help you a bit, Tuso. So the first thing, the electoral court has given an order, but they're going to give their reasons much later. This happens a lot in court processes. In fact, there's times when they will give an order and then they'll say the judgment is going to follow in a day or later in the day or after 3 days. Why? Because some of the matters are on urgency. For instance, with Jacob Zuma, the IEC had a deadline yesterday to finalize everything. So the lists and everything is now going to be published, so to speak.
But what if IEC wants to appeal based?
Then they must wait for the reasons. I mean, the IEC doesn't have to appeal. That's why they said in their statement yesterday, we're going to wait for the reasons and then we're going to decide what we do. But I'm just trying to say to you that this is normal occurrence in the judicial system, that the judges can give an order, especially when there's urgency. Because can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine what would happen if the court didn't give that order? They waited until they finished their judgment. That would disadvantage Jacob Zuma, especially if that would be in his favor to be on that list.
But what if the higher or apex court finds it differently? Already they have forwarded him as a candidate to the
parliament. Then you withdraw him.
Doesn't they have the same outcome?
No.
The same outcome. My point here, Clement, is I think to them, they consider the sensitivity of the political temperature.
Yeah, they consider the urgency. So if the Concord finds differently, Tuso, all you have to do is simple. You withdraw him. Zuma doesn't go to parliament anymore. That's not difficult.
But there's a lot, anyway, it's politics at play. But, you know, looking differently, there's a lot at play here.
Okay.
I'm sorry to say, there's a lot at play.
I hear you. Listen.
Political theatrics.
Okay, thank you, Tuso, for your contribution. I'm not convinced. We need to be careful before we cast aspersions at the Constitutional Court or at the lower courts or at the judges or the justices, right? Just because they've come out in a particular way doesn't necessarily mean that they're playing politics. And we hear this all the time. When they rule in your favor, it's like that other party. Remember Red? When courts rule in their favor, they celebrate. Eh? The one said, the Chief Justice, amazing jurist. Why? Because he had a minority judgment on the, what was the case? On the CR financial statements. The minute the Chief Justice then has a different point and rules against the EFF, the judiciary. There's a problem here. There could be politics here. There could be corruption in the judiciary. And it's not just the Red Berets. It happens with other parties sometimes too, where they start questioning the judiciary when they're ruling against them. Oh, but they celebrate them as doyens, as incredible jurists, when they rule in their favor.
Good morning, Clement. All this shenanigans that's going on with the MK, ANC, and other parties, let me tell you, come election time, we're going to have major problems in this country. These things are just going to take us more down south. If not, we could end up having a civil war. It's my personal opinion. It's Monty from Benoni. Cheers.
Fernando, you're in Jamestown. Hi. Okay, something wrong with that call. Let me wrap up with this. WhatsApp text from Figo, who says, Clement, I read somewhere that there's an option to take it on a voluntary basis without accepting remuneration that comes with it. Apparently, that's what Khalema Motlanthe and Baleka Mbete are said to have done in 2009 when they assumed the positions of deputy president and speaker, respectively, having previously served as president and deputy president before the 2009 election. That's why they still retain the perks of a former president, Motlanthe, and a former deputy president, Mbete, even though they were respectfully deputy president and speaker when they exited the public service. So someone from parliament who's also been there for a very long time actually just sent me a message and said, because I asked him, because I need to get context about this issue. So when I come talk to you, at least I'm coming from a position of understanding from people who are in the system, right? That's why I call lawyers before I come on the show, if I'm going to be discussing legal matters, because my whole aim is to help you understand. So this person I had called had said to me earlier, it's not possible to do voluntary thing, but he's just texted me now and says, it seems like it's possible to choose between the two because you can't have two salaries. And the person says, I'm going to look for a copy of the resolution that was done, that was passed by the House in the Motlanthe matter. Also, the correction is that the deputy presidents don't get their salaries for life, but they can get security and all the other benefits like access to military hospital, the security, etc., etc. So in that case, then Baleka Mbete would receive a salary of a Speaker of Parliament, but the other benefits around access to military hospitals and security and all of that, that he or she received when she was deputy president, that stays with her. That's just the clarity I wanted to give you from people that are working there in parliament.